Welcome to the Out of Bounds Breed Podcast, where we help inform and grow the community around common weakness enumeration and common attack pattern enumeration and classification. This podcast is produced by the MITRE Corporation with funding from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
Hi, this is Steve Batista. I'm on the community engagement team for the CWE program and your host of the Out of Bounds Read podcast. Today's guest is Steve Christicoli, Principal Security Engineer at MITRE. He's the technical lead for the CWE and KPEC teams. Steve started in CWE shortly about a year after it was started by another colleague of ours, Bob Martin. Steve was also a co-founder of CVE back in 1999. Today we're going to talk about what is CWE, why is it important, and how could it help me? Welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So the first question is, what is CWE?
So there are all of these vulnerabilities out there in major software and minor software that enterprises use all over the place. And all of those vulnerabilities stem from mistakes that programmers made when they were developing that software. It turns out that there are patterns to the kinds of mistakes that these programmers make, and they can be classified and characterized a little bit more precisely so that we can identify these common patterns and help others to communicate about them and learn about them. For example, buffer overflows or SQL injection or cross-site scripting. Those are well-known kinds of weaknesses, mistakes in software, that enable vulnerabilities to appear in lots of major software. So what we try and do in CWE, the common weakness enumeration, is to assign identifiers for these kinds of mistakes, which are the root causes of vulnerabilities that enter into software. And we've been around since 2006 or so, I think, and we've characterized a huge variety of different kinds of weaknesses involving memory safety, different kinds of injection into web applications, design level problems, poor access control, authentication, cryptography, a wide range of different kinds of mistakes that programmers can make that lead to vulnerabilities. And that's what the common weakness enumeration is.
So why do we have CWE when we have CVE?
For CVE, those are for individual mistakes that appear in individual specific software, say, you know, Microsoft Excel or Apache web server. In the case of CWE, we really try and find the common patterns that appear across many different individual CVEs, but the CWE weaknesses are general characterizations of these patterns, and they are not tied to any specific vulnerability in a specific software package. Many different software packages can all have vulnerabilities that stem from the same kind of mistake made by programmers. And so it's a different effort to try and get at really understanding and communicating about the root cause of these vulnerabilities. As such, it's a lot smaller. It's a little bit more comprehensive in the kinds of details that it provides, but it is definitely different. It's a way for us to really try and move towards stopping vulnerabilities at the source by understanding what the root causes of those vulnerabilities are and preventing them from entering into software in the first place.
It's really great that you have that proactivity, but is this a project just, you know, for techies by techies?
It's not. It's definitely technically oriented in that a lot of the individual descriptions that we have for CWE weaknesses are generally written to be understandable by developers. However, many different people can use CWE in different ways. One of the ways that CWE is often used is in characterizing the kinds of weaknesses that, say, a product manager would not want to see in their software that they're developing. We have one of our main contributions that we have over each year is the CWE Top 25, which is a list of the most commonly occurring weaknesses. And that list, in and of itself, could be useful to less technical people to ask their vendors, hey, how safe are you against the Top 25 programming errors? Have you made sure that your software does not contain these kinds of errors? And there are other potential applications as well for understanding trend analysis. What are the more significant weaknesses that really seem to be becoming popular in terms of exploitation, which then managers of product development teams and others could use? It is largely a technical effort, but there are applications to other areas as well.
Wow, you've been at this, or the program's been there for, you know, almost 15 years. You must be done adding CWEs. You must have them all enumerated, right?
I feel sometimes like we've barely even started. we're at over 900 individual weaknesses organized in hierarchical fashion. And in the beginning of this podcast, I talked a little bit about the variety that we have. But think about the variety of products, software products that are out there. Think about the variety of mistakes that programmers could make. Think about the variety of new technologies that keep on emerging. And I say they keep on emerging like they're coming and attacking me. And in a way, they sort of are, right? There's this onslaught of software that's continually being developed and created, these new technologies, these new frameworks. And that comes with introducing new kinds of weaknesses as well. So there are some gaps that we continually try and address within CWE. Another area where CWE really had some gaps, but is growing quite a bit, is in hardware. We are starting to characterize different kinds of hardware problems, generally in hardware design or architecture, and the weaknesses that can arise even in the development and design stages for those hardware products. And we've been working on extending hardware coverage in CWE for about a year and a half now, almost 2 years. And we've had a community team, a hardware security working group, special interest group, that has been contributing content to CWE with what they think are some serious weaknesses that we need to cover. And if you think about any new kind of technology area that is potentially vulnerable to things, those are potential areas where we could also expand as well.
So you talked a little bit about the top 25. Can you give me the highlights on how do you pick those? I mean, do you have a group of people that say these are the most important? How do you pick that?
So in the past few years, we've changed our approach from what we originally did about 10 years ago. Since 2019, we've started deriving the top 25 from the National Vulnerability Database, NVD, which is operated by NIST. NVD is built on top of CVE, actually. And what they do for the NIST analysts at NVD is they take individual CVE IDs and descriptions and references, they look at them, and then they try and characterize what kind of CWE is present that created the vulnerability that's covered by that individual CVE. And they publish this CWE mapping information. So the approach that we've taken is to download the entire NVD database, look at the past couple years worth of CVE entries, get what their CWE mappings are, evaluate a sample of those mappings, and it's not necessarily a random sample, but look at a sample of those mappings and figure out were the original mappings to CWE identifiers appropriate. We suggest corrections or changes as needed. And then what we do is we run a metric across the entire set of NVD data adjusted with these newly updated CWE mappings. We run a metric that then characterizes each individual CWE roughly in terms of the average CVSS score, the average risk of that CVE, and also with the frequency. So we generate the list based entirely off of NVD data with some of our own adjustments. And really, we're looking for a combination of frequency and impact. So it's kind of some classic risk-related measures in a way. And from that, we can generate the top 25.
So in looking at that top 25, has it changed much in the last couple of years? Is there something that's becoming more popular versus less popular?
We haven't really done comparisons of trends over the past couple of years, but the classics are still there, unfortunately, even compared with the early versions of the top 25 from 2009, 2010. And this is actually something that's been seen in other projects as well, such as the OWASP top 10. So you still have the classics related to buffer overflows, cross-site scripting, SQL injection, other kinds of injection, authentication, authorization, and so on. But we do start to see some CWEs becoming a little bit more popular. They might not enter into the top 25 right away, but we also track CWEs that did not make it into the top 25, but got kind of close. So each year we also include a list of CWEs that were on the cusp of breaking into the top 25. And it's there especially that you will sometimes see newer interesting kinds of CWEs pop up that had not been around in previous years. One example that I think is really interesting that wasn't even really present back in 2009, but is now becoming much more common, is Out of Bounds Read, actually. And this was not a setup question to any of the listeners. I just realized this now. But Out of Bounds Read was not really present 10 years ago, at least not as popular as it is now. And it was in the top 10 last year in 2020. And we'll see how it ranks this year. But that's one example of something that was around 10 years ago, just not really being looked for that much. And now it is. So that's just a quick insight, I guess, into some of the trends that we can see. So this is useful for readers and programmers and managers of development systems to say, oh, okay, this thing is becoming much more popular. It's more serious. I think we should start paying a little bit more attention to this. We should see, do we have automated scanning tools that help to even find this by scanning the code or conducting dynamic analysis to actually execute the code and try and find these weaknesses? Do we need to make changes in our design processes or in testing? So this is one of the ways that even changes within the top 25 can help even more mature organizations really start to continue to improve their own coverage and preventing their own weaknesses from occurring within their own software.
So you've been doing this for almost 15 years. What really has surprised you the most in working on CWE?
A couple things. First of all, like the variety of technologies as they continue to grow and expand. I did not really anticipate that kind of explosion happening. But on the other hand, back in 2005, 2006, when CWE was just starting out, 2005, 2006, we saw an explosion in the number of CVEs. And that was because of significant increases in website vulnerabilities and web application vulnerabilities. And it just, you know, really kind of was blowing up around that time. So I should have known, even from the beginning of CWE, that stuff is going to be new and new things are going to come up all the time. I think another thing that's sort of surprised me, or maybe it's just something that I've been continually trying to wrestle with, kind of like Don Quixote at a windmill, is I had thought that these would be able to be classified and organized in a pretty reasonable fashion that would be useful to everybody. And a lot of these kind of defy classification, or at least the methodology that we've been using within CWE. Others have struggled with classification of weaknesses, and there's a program at NIST I can think of, for example, where they're really trying to be systematic in how they classify things. But on the CWE side, we also have this challenge of really trying to be useful to a number of different kinds of users. And so we have to try and remain practical while still striving to continue to improve our coverage and how we handle things and how we represent things. And that's been an ongoing, consistent surprise, even just in the last week. I'm starting to see, you know, new kinds of injection, or at least stuff that's new kinds of injection that aren't covered in CWE that is becoming more popular.
So what would be your biggest pet peeve with CWE enumeration of vulnerabilities or CWE in general?
The biggest pet peeve, I would say, is, and I understand there are reasons for this, but there's often not a lot of detail or not a lot of in-depth investigation as to what the root cause of vulnerabilities are, that is, the weaknesses. And we often don't have that kind of information on a large scale. So it makes it difficult sometimes to really be able to track trends and also to understand all software has vulnerabilities, right? All software, if it's really popular, is going to get researched a lot by many people and is going to have a lot of vulnerabilities. But are the developers at least starting to make different kinds of mistakes, or are they the same old mistakes that have been made 15, 20 years ago? We can't entirely know that for sure when we don't even know what the weaknesses are behind a lot of these CVEs. So I don't know if I would characterize that as a pet peeve, but it is definitely a big problem that we're kind of wrestling with. We're seeing it up very close as we're doing top 25 analysis and doing these CWE mappings and dealing with incomplete or imperfect CVE information, at least from the perspective of what is the root cause for this issue. And that's not really what CVE is designed for. CVE is bag and tag individual vulnerabilities and present the kinds of information that's important for system administrators to go and fix those vulnerabilities within their own computer networks, within their own computer systems. They don't necessarily care about what the root cause is of a vulnerability. They care about how serious it is and whether it affects their own software or not. So this tension has been ongoing since the beginning, I think, really.
So if I'm starting to look at CWEs, there's a lot of entries. Where should I start? How do I get into it?
There's a number of different ways. The top 25 certainly would be a good introduction to 25 different CWEs that do cover a broad range of the kinds of errors that developers can make. And that's easily accessible in the top right corner of any page on cwe.mitre.org. We also have a few different ways that people can navigate the website. For example, we have what we call views, which are ways of organizing subsets of CWE to a smaller number of weaknesses that's a little bit more manageable, especially for people who are just starting out. So we have a view that's CWE identifier 1003, which is a simplified set of weaknesses that are related to publicly reported vulnerabilities. And it's about 100 different CWEs. That's still a lot. But people could navigate to that view. We have views related to hardware. We have a hardware-specific view. So if you're only interested in hardware, you could look at that view. And then once you get into the website itself, you can start to navigate between different entries. And when you look at a particular entry, you can see if it has any child more specific entries. You can see where it lives in a tree of different hierarchies and what does its more abstract parents look like. And so there are ways to navigate through the website in that fashion as well. We have a number of different ways that people can go and look at the CWE website and get a sense of what's out there. But there is, as you said, there is a lot that's out there. And one thing that we're just starting out is we're creating a CWE KPEC user experience working group of many interested parties who use CWE and want to be able to use it more easily. And this working group is starting up very soon. We've already recruited people from the general public. If you're interested in the usability of CWE or of the KPEC projects, then definitely feel free to contact us and we'll have all of our information, contact information readily available to you. But I have really high hopes for the user experience group to really be able to help us better organize CWE, even change the presentations on our website so that we can really better serve all of our different kinds of customers, all of the different kinds of users that, come to CEWE to learn or to exchange information.
So if this is a growing body of knowledge and you think you've found a new CEWE, how can a person help add to that body of knowledge? Everyone's really anxious to have, you know, CBEs in their name. How can they add CEWEs?
Sure. So we have a process that we will be unveiling at some point in the future where people will be able to start submitting their data through a web server, but that is still being implemented. People can still, through the CEWE website, contact us when they have a proposal for a new CEWE entry, and we do have a form that they can fill out to provide us with the appropriate information that then they would could email us, and then we would be able to integrate their information into CEWE itself, and we'll be sure to have the links for that kind of information available with this podcast.
Excellent. So thank you very much for your time. This has been a really great conversation about CEWE.
You didn't ask about my favorite CEWE yet.
Oh, what is your favorite CEWE?
Oh, wait, no. That was supposed to be most hated CEWE, I think. That's my pet peeve, right? CEWE 20, improper input validation. And that CEWE is, if you think about it, it's almost a cliche to say that improper input validation is the cause of all vulnerabilities. That's not entirely the case, but certainly input validation is responsible for many kinds of vulnerabilities. But what that means is that many people characterize vulnerabilities only in terms of the lack of input validation. And people even mean different things when they talk about input validation. It's a commonly used term. It's a nearly universal error that programmers do if they're not doing input validation correctly. But it's also very frequently used when disclosing vulnerabilities and you don't know anything else about what the mistake was that created the vulnerability. That's really the pet peeve, I guess, as a follow-up to an earlier part of our discussion. And I don't really have a favorite CEWE, I would say. I care about them all, but some of them are more challenging than others. And, you know, come to think of it, some of these are turning 15 years old. And so, you know, maybe they're starting to show their age in being a little bit difficult to manage. But we're on the case and we're continuing to work towards improving CEWE content. And we really are looking forward to increasing our public engagement with the community overall to help us improve CEWE so they can then better help to eliminate vulnerabilities at their source.
That's great. Thanks for your time again. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Steve. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Well, that's all for the Out of Bounds Read podcast. Another one's enumerated. See you at the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Out of Bounds Read podcast, available on most podcast platforms and at cwe.mitre.org. Stay up to date and connect with us on Twitter at CWE KPEC.